Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Lamates. We begin at the new Mishnah, three lines from the top of Lamates with Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Sora Maitel Bas Yitzchak, and we continue to learn for the safety of the Chayalim, for all the Kochas HaBitachon, for the EMTs, for all those that are protecting Am Yisrael. They should be successful. They should bring back the hostages, B'ezras Hashem, B'mheira, and healthy. All those needed before Shleimah should have one. And Nebuch, those that are suffering their tremendous family losses, their own losses for Klai Yisrael, they should have Nechama. Okay, we begin three lines at the top. Lama Tesavad Alf with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Shor Shel Pikeach, if a Shor belongs to an intelligent person, in other words, a Bar Das, so then, Shenagach, if this Shor goes and gores Shor Shel Cheirish Shotev Katan, Chayiv, so you have to go and pay. The fact that it's owned by Cheirish Shotev and Katan are important for the next statement in the Mishnah, but here there's no difference whether you damage a competent person or an incompetent person's property, a Bar Das or not a Bar Das, if the owner of the Shor is a Bar Das, so he's going to be Chayiv to pay. So this is obvious, and the Otzim of Farshei Talmud brings down that, yet sometimes we list an obvious thing in order to get to the next chiddush, which is the not obvious thing. Well, alternatively, one might have thought that in this situation where the shor of the pikeach, let's say, does $100 worth of damage, and as we'll see, the shor of the cheirish shor katan fought back and did $50 worth of damage, so you might have thought in that situation you go $100 and you subtract the 50, and it only did $50 worth of damage, and only should have to pay 50, so the answer is no. You totally ignore any damage that the Cheirishot and Kotten gave, and therefore, in this situation where they would be, normally, if they would be Pikeach, they would be responsible for 50, so then the total amount of damage would only be 50. In this situation, when it's the Shor of the Cheirishot and Kotten that did $50 worth of damage, and the Shor of the Pikeach did 100, so then the Shor owner of the Pikeach, in that situation, would have to pay a full $100 of damages if it was a Mu'ud. Okay, so again, Shor Shel Pikeach, Shenagach, Shor Shel Cheirish Shotev Katan, Chayiv. He has to pay full damages. If it's Shor Mu'ud, obviously he has damages if it's a Shor Tam. And if it was the other way around, the Shor Cheirish Shotev Katan that went and damaged Shenagach, Shor Shel Pikeach, a regular Yitz Shor, so then Potter, as we've already pointed out previously, the Cheirish Shotev Katan have no responsibility, and therefore they're animal damages, so there's no payment at all. Potter. That's what the Tanna Kamma tells us. Now we have a seemingly contradictory statement, which the Gemara will ask right away. It seems to contradict this. It then tells us, Shor Shel Cheirish Shotev Katan Shenagach, if the Shor of the Cheirish Shotev Katan did damage, it gored, so if based in Mamidin Lehen Apotropos, Me'idin Lehen Bifnei Apotropos, so then they would be Chayiv. If the basin had appointed an Apotropos, somebody to watch over this animal, and the person who was watching over them was warned, hey, watch out for your shor, as the pasuk tells us, v'hu ad bivolav v'lo yishmerenu. So now they were warned and told to watch. So if the ox of the cheirishot caught in this situation goes and gores, they would be chayiv. Now, we'll see who's chayiv in the Gemara, but this seems to contradict the first part, who would say that you're not chayiv. Now, obviously, they must be talking about that it was an apotropos as well in the reisha, otherwise what would be the chiddush? So the reisha tells us that if you appointed an apotropos, you're potter. And the second part, we'll call it the Sefer, tells us if you appointed an apotropos, so then you're going to be chayiv. So what's going on over here? Gemara will explain. Then we go to the next part of the Mishnah. Nispakeach hacheirish. If the original owner of the animal was originally a cheirish, he wasn't a bar das. And then, Baruch Hashem, whatever illness he had, whatever problem he had, it was solved, and now he is a bar das. So he had a change in his status. Or, nishtapa hashota, the person who was originally a shota, who's never mentally incompetent, now he's taking medicines, and all of a sudden, he's now a healthy, sane person. He's now a bar das. Again, a similar idea. Or, vihigdil hakotan, the child's really a kotan originally, then he grows up, now he's a gadol. In all of these situations, the Mishnah tells us, chazar litamuso, the status of this ox is now that it's a tam. Now, what exactly does that mean? It seems to imply that it wasn't a tam, as Rashi says, the ksava rishus mishane muad. So it implies that this change in rishus, we're going from the cheirish to now a pikeach, or a shot going to nishtapa, a bardas, or the katan going to a gadol, it changes its status from being a muad to going back to being a tam. The Mukhi Yosef explains the rationale behind this is because the person can now say, because of this shinui rishus, now I would watch it very carefully, and I would never let it have become a muad. The fact that it became a muad when I wasn't in a competent state, so now that reverts back to being a tam because I will watch it carefully. That's the Mukri's explanation. This is the opinion Divri Rav Meir. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, harehu bechazkaso. No, this shor muad will remain a shor muad, even though the owner, so to say, has changed his status, and nevertheless, the shor itself remains a shor muad. Again, more we'll discuss this in more detail as well. Finally, the Mishnah concludes with a shor itzdadin. Itzdadin probably has the root, the word stadium coming from it. It means, as Rashi in Avodah Zarah tells us, it was a shor that was trained to go in gore. It was like a bullfighting shor. V'horeg anoshim uschol kulahem. This was like day at the sports arena, and they would go and have these shorim go and gore people, and people would cheer and clap. This was their entertainment. So this is called the shor hitzdadim, which was trained to go and gore. So it then does what it's trained to do. So this shor is not going to be a shor haniskal, eino chayiv misa. The shor will not be chayiv to be put to death. And this is based upon the pasuk that tells us shenemar, pasuk from Mishpatim, that says v'chi gach shor esish o esishor v'meis. So kol yisakel shor. In that situation where it wasn't trained to go and murder, so then in that situation it's going to be a penalty of so kol yisakel, that you have to go kill that shor. However, it has to be a shor that on its own went and yigach velo sheyagihu, not that it was trained to go and kill. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Let's start the Gemara with the kasha that I mentioned from the first statement and the second statement. Seems to be contradictory. Hagufa kasha, it seems to be mutually contradictory, because first you say amris shor shalcheri shot v'katan shenogach shor shabikach pata. First you say that the owner, the cheri shot and katan of this shor that went and gored a regular yid shor shabikach, is pater. Now, Alma, you see from the Reisha that ain mamidin apotropos l'tam ligbos migufo, that we don't appoint an apotropos to go and watch the shor and then collect chatzi nezek. Obviously, it's talking about where an apotropos was appointed, the Mefarshim explained. Otherwise, what would be the chiddush over here? We know cheresh of the katan aren't held responsible for their actions, so certainly they're not held responsible for their ox's actions. So it must be that we had appointed an apotropos to go and take care of their property. Nevertheless, in this situation, we don't appoint an apotropos to go and be responsible to watch these oxen of the Cherishot and Katan to then be held liable to pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo. So the Reisha says we do not appoint an apotropos Letam, for a short time, Legabos Migufo, that you should go be able to collect from this short time's guf. Now, then the second statement in the Mishnah, Seifa, it says, no, Shor Shal Cherishot and Katan Shinogach, so based in Ma'amidin Lehem Apotropos, you do appoint an Apotropos to take care of them, and therefore, Umi'idin Lehem the Apotropos, the Edim come along and testify in front of the Apotropos, and what? You see that they're going to go collect. So you're going to have to pay the Chatzin Ezek. Amo, Ma'amidin Lehem Apotropos, Latam Ligavos Migufo. So you seem to have a contradiction. The first statement of the Mishnah says we don't appoint an apotropos for Tam Legavos Migufo, and the second statement says that we do appoint an apotropos Tam Legavos Migufo. Again, mutually contradictory. So Arma Rava gives us the first terence, and he says, this I have to read the Mishnah, Hachitani. The Im Huchsegu Nakhanin. No, if the Shor Tam has gored a couple of times, so now it is a Shor Muad, so then in this situation, now you appoint an apotropos. And now you'll go and testify in front of this apotropos. Again, and then if he doesn't go and take care to watch it, now it's an official shor muad. Now you would be responsible to go and pay from the aliyah, from the estate of the Zcheire, Shota, and Kotan. So in that situation, we do have a shor that is going to be held liable, the owner is held liable in this situation, but only after it was a muad. So the second part where we said that you appoint the apotropos is when the shor now is a muad, but you don't appoint the shor to go and collect for tam legabos migufo. So the Reish is talking about a tam, and the Sefer, the second part, is talking about a muad. That is how Rava explains the seeming discrepancy or contradiction between the Reish and the Sefer. Now, in this situation, you're going to go collect the Sefer from the aliyah. Me aliyas man. Whose aliyah? Whose property you go collect it from? So here we have a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, me aliyas yisomim. Rabbi Yochanan says you go collect it from the cherishot or the katan. In other words, if there was a katan, it's from the yisomim, so you go collect it from their property. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Yochanina Amar says, no, we never collect from the yisomim, me aliyas apotropos. You go and collect from the apotropos, from the guardian. You go collect it from his property. He's held responsible for not watching the shor properly. So this is a basic fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yosef Yochanina. Now Rabbi Yochanina, the Gemara is going to tell us, was a dayan. He was a very well-known authority, so certainly he would paskin that you don't go and collect something from the orphans. In general, we only collect from karka, from the orphans. We don't collect from metaltalin. And therefore, this is not a karka-based responsibility. This is a metaltalin-based responsibility. And therefore, Rav Yosef Chanina says, you only collect from the apotropos, but you wouldn't collect from the Yisomim. No, Rav Yochanan says, you do collect from the Yisomim. We'll explain that in a moment. Why not? But first, we want to question, did Rav Yochanan really say that he collect from the Yisomim? Umi or Rav Yochanan Hachi, did Rav Yochanan really say that he collect from the Yisomim? For Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav Asi, Ein Yiskokin L'nichsa Yisomim, we do not ever go and collect from the Yisomim, unless Elim Kain Ribis Ocheleswem. If somehow there was a Ribis case, so then we would go pay off on behalf of the Yisomim so that the Ribis shouldn't eat up their estate. So that's the only time Yehuda Amar Rav Asi said you go collect from the Yisomim. Otherwise, you don't collect from the state of the Yisomim from non-karka obligations. Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Yes, I agree with you in that situation, but it's not only that. Oh, l'shtar sheish bo ribis, for the ribis, I agree with you, but there's another reason as well. Oh, l'ksubas isha, mishum mizone. We allow them to go collect for the ksuba of an isha because she needs to go and be given food. So therefore, that's another reason. So what do you see? Rav Yochanan says that you don't collect from the Yisomim. And here, Rav Yochanan said, you do collect from the Yisomim. So obviously, there seems to be a theory of Rav Yochanan. So Gemara says, you're right, April. So switch it around. Say to Rav Yochanan is the one that said, may Alias apotropos, you go collect from the apotropos. And it was Rav Yosef Yochanina who says, you go and collect from the Yisomim. Rav Yochanan, Omar, may Alias apotropos, and Rav Yosef Yochanina, Omar, may Alias Yisomim. So Gemara says, that can't be. I'm Rava. Rava doesn't like that answer. Rava says, Mishum Dikashu Yochanan, Rav Yochanan, because we seem to have a theory of Rav Yochanan, we should go and make Rav Yosef Yochanina give the wrong answer. Mashu Slele Rav Yosef Yochanina, Toeh, he should now say that you go collect from the Yisomim. We normally don't collect from the Yisomim. We only collect from the apotropos. So Rav Yosef Chanina, why would you make him now say the wrong answer? I'll have to explain how Rav Yochanan said the wrong answer in a second. But you're telling me that Rav Yosef Chanina says the wrong answer? Rav Yosef Chanina, Dayanu, he is a well-known Dayan, and therefore it's very unlikely that he would make a mistake. As Rashi says, the law karmar, then his kokil nifsa Yisomim. He would never say you go get from the Yisomim, because everybody knows you don't collect from the Yisomim, especially a Dayan. Vinokis the umke the dida. And therefore, he wouldn't say you go and collect from the Yisomim. So let's leave things the way that they were. We have a steer in Rav Yochanan. So Rava says, El Eliyahu no tepel. Don't flip it around. Rav Yochanan was the one that said, Me'alias Yisomim. And nevertheless, Rav Yochanan was the one that said that you only collect from the Yisomim for a ribbis bearing debt or ksubas isha. No, that seems to be a steer in Rav Yochanan. So he says, no, umazik shiny. The case of a mazik, it's different. And that's why Rav Yochanan says you could also, for the case of a mazik, go and collect from the Yisomim. Why is that? In order that they should learn that their property can't go around running like hefker. So therefore, you have to make sure that their property isn't allowed to run around and go do damage, because society can't function like that. So therefore, Rav Yochanan agrees that in general, you don't collect from the Yisomim. However, mazik is shiny. Here it's different with the case of the mazik, in order that the mazik shouldn't go running around like crazy. Now, Rav Yochanan Omar Me'alias Yisomim. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says that in this situation, you go collect from the Yisomim, because the Amris Me'alias Apotropos. No, so you want to set up safeguards over here. So why didn't he say go collect from the apotropos? So we turn to Lama Tesla Bays, because if you were to say go collect from the apotropos, nobody's going to want to be the apotropos if they say, listen, this is a thankless job. Not only am I not being paid well, if I'm paid at all, often they did this as a favor, but now you're holding me responsible, so nobody's going to want to do it. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says, in this situation, we will allow you to go and collect from the Yisomim, in order that society should go and function properly, that people shouldn't be damaged by these animals. Why didn't Rav Yosef Chanina say that? Rav Yosef Chanina, no, Me'alias Apotropos, he says, listen, let the Apotropos be careful. The Chos ruin it from him, and now Yisomim l'chigoli. But he shouldn't not want to do this job, because he knows he'll get his money back eventually. When the Yisomim grow up, then he can take them to court then. No, now he should be careful. But at least if he's not careful, or even if things happen, despite his being careful, he knows that he'll be able to go eventually get his money back from the Yisomim when they grow up. Now, the Gemara continues and says, according to the way Rava understood the way to reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah, is that the Tana of our Mishnah in the Reisha says that we do not appoint the apotropos to go and collect from the goof of the Tam, in behalf of the Cherishot and Mekotah. Now, so this is in fact Machlokes Tanoim, the Gemara says, Umamid lehem apotropos, do we or do we not put aside a apotropos of them that would be allowed to go and have the collection from the goof of this Tam? Umamid lehem apotropin letam legavos migufo, that's Tanoihi, that's actually a Machlokes Tanoim. And where do we see this? From the following Brisa, the Tanya. Shorish and Ischar Shubalev. The Tanakam of this Brisa tells us that if a shor, the owner of the shor, he becomes a cheresh. So he came from a competent person a bardas to becoming an incompetent person, a lav bardas. Or v'sheishtatu ba'olav, he was a competent pikeach beforehand, and now he became a nebuch, a mentally ill person, a shota, and he's incompetent, he's lav bardas. Or v'sheochu ba'olav l'bidas yam, or the owners went away to bidas yam, and now the ox goes and gores. So there's nobody there watching this ox. So in this situation, Yehuda ben Nekusa, Omar Sumchus, Yehuda ben Nekusa said the name of Sumchus, Harehu b'tamuso. He remains in his tam state. And we'll have to explain what this means in a moment. But right now, we just state that he remains in his tam state. Unless, Achi Yidu bo b'fnei habalim, until witnesses come and they fulfill this obligation of v'hu'ad b'v'alav, that you go and testify in front of the balim themselves. So then in that situation, would it be allowed to go collect from the short tam? V'chachamim omrim, the chachamim say no. Ma'midin lohem apetropin, no, you can appoint here, not only the Balaam can fulfill this, but even the apotropos can go fulfill this. So it sounds like the opinion of the Baal Plukta of Yehuda ben Akusa in the name of Sumcha says that you can go and be mamid the gabos migufo of a tam, and Yehuda ben Akusa in the name of Sumcha says you cannot. Furthermore, if the second statement that Spicer makes is what happens if this Cheresh then becomes a Bardas again. He regains his ability to be a Bardas. Or Nishtapa Shota, the Shota now becomes an intelligent person again. He takes his antipsychotic medications, and now he's back to normal. Or Vigdala Katan, or it was a Katan, and now the Katan grows up and he's a Gadol. Or the Balaam who went overseas, Ubo Balaam, they now come back from their business trip. So in this situation, Yehuda ben Akusa, Omer Sumchus, Yehuda ben Akusa, his name is Sumchus, Chazel Tamuso. He returns to his status of being a Tam. We'll see what this means, but basically we've already mentioned this before, that the Shinui over here, according to Yehuda ben Akusa, Omer Sumchus, from his original state of being a Muad, now he becomes back a Tam when the owners, so to say, are there again. Until they come and testify, and then he would be held responsible as a Muad. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Meir, Harezehu b'chatzkaso. No, you stay in the state of Muad, even though, quote, there are new owners here, even though there's a Shinui. That's the Brisa. We had a Reisha and a Sefer, this Brisa. So now, Amri, the Gemara says, my, what are we talking about? Harehu b'tamuso, when it said that Harehu b'tamuso in the Reisha, Yudu b'kuso, Amr Sumcha said Harehu b'tamuso, what exactly does that mean? When he said this, what did Yehuda ben Akusa mean in the name of Sumchus? Harei hu b'tamuso dekama Sumchus. What did that mean? So if you're going to tell me ilema delo miyai klal, that he hadn't become a muad at all, but he's always a tam, so then how do you understand the sefer? Homiktoni sefer chazal l'tamuso, he returns to its tam status. It implies that he was a muad miklal diyai. So how do you explain that? Elo, what's the ray should be? Elo, my rei hu b'tamuso. What does it mean when he stays in his tam state? It means, harehu bit tmimuso. It means that he remains as a tam entirely. In other words, this tam isn't used to pay at all for the chatzi nezek. It remains in the status of the owner. We don't go into the guf and pay for chatzi nezek. So, that is the opinion of Yehuda ben Akusa in the name of Sumchus. Alma, what do you see from this opinion? As I pointed out before, they do not hold. Yehuda ben Akusa, in the name of Sumchus, does not hold that we appoint a apotropos for a tam, that you should all be able to collect from the guf of the tam. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham, I mean, no. Ma'amidin lem apotropos. We do appoint an apotropos legabos min atam, migufo, or mi'idin lem ibn apotropos. Then they testify in front of the apotropos. It's like who I bevolov. And therefore, alma ma'amidin apotropos latam legabos migufo. Oh, let us say this is machlokis tanoim. Yehuda ben Akusa, in the name of Sumcha, says we do not. And the Chacham says that we do appoint a apotropos legabos migufo. This is therefore the ratio, the machlokis between Yud ben Akusa and Sumchus, in the name of Sumchus, and the Chacham. What's the machlokes in the Sefer? The Sefer of Michael Miflegi. So the Gemara says that, as I pointed out, is Rishus Mishana Ikabinayu. When you have a change of Rishus, they were previously Lav Bardas, they were incompetent, and now they're incompetent. Or he was previously away with Dina Siyam, and now he returns. So this is a Shinoi. So do we or do we not? Like the Mimuki Yosef. The Mimuki Yosef says, the guy Ketaina, if I had been around, I never would have allowed this animal to become a Muad. So therefore, it returns to its time of state. So that is the opinion of Yehuda ben Akusa in the name of Sumchus. Sumchus saw our Rishus Mishana. This returns it to its state of being a top because of the Mimuki Yosef's understanding. And the Rebbe Yossi saw her, no, Rishus and Mishana, no, the animal's a Muad. Tough luck. That's it. The animal's a Muad. Okay. Now, Mara now says the following brayse, the Torah Rabbanan, Shor Cheresh, Shote, V'Katan. The Shor that belongs to Cheresh, Shote, V'Katan, and Nebuch, he goes and goes, Shenagach. So the brayse seems to say, Rav Yaakov Mishalim Chatzin Ezek. Rav Yaakov pays Chatzin Ezek. When the world's Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov, my avite. Who is this Rav Yaakov? Why is Rav Yaakov paying chatzi nezek? The Shor Mitzion Ba'alocha says that there was a person, Rav Yaakov, who went and go and paid to the person who was damaged, the nizak, in this situation, in order that society should function. That's his first teretz. Second teretz is that there's a deeper meaning over here. This Rav Yaakov deals somehow with a remez to Yaakov Avinu, who still had to be mesakein chatzi, whatever that exactly means, I'm not sure, and therefore it's a deeper Kabbalistic idea. And anyway, the Gemara's simple understanding is, why in the world are you mentioning Rav Yaakov here? What did he have to do with anything over here? The Gemara says, you're right, that's not the correct way to understand this. Ela Eima, Rav Yaakov Omer, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Rav Yaakov tells us that the Shor, in owner of the Shor in this situation, has to be Chatzi Nezek, even though the owner is a Cheresh, Shota, or a Katan. Now, this would seem to be going within the Shita of that we do appoint an apotropos on behalf of the Cheresh, Shota, and Katan, Ligabos Mitam Migufo. So the Gemara says, Benayiskin, what's this teaching us? If you're telling me Ibitam, so if this is the case of a Tam, and we appoint an apotropos over here, so then Pshita, the Kuliyama, Nami Chatzi Nezek, Unishale. So why are you telling me that they pay Chatzi Nezek? You should have just said Chayiv. And we would know it means Chatzi Nezek. Why are you telling me Mishalim Chatzi Nezek? Everybody pays Chatzi Nezek in this situation. If it's a Muad, Biba Muad, so then you wouldn't pay Chatzi Nezek. If they did a proper Shmira, so then Klal Klal Lo Boil Shalomi. So then if, as Rashi points out, robbers came and let it out during the night, or a fence got breached unexpectedly, some accident happened, you did a proper Shmira, you locked it properly, so then you're not chayv anything in that situation. So you wouldn't pay Chatzi Nezek, you wouldn't pay anything. You didn't do a proper shmir, you left the gate unlocked, the cow got out, and it gored. So then, kula nezik by shlume. So then, you have to pay nezik shalim, not chatzi nezik, because then you were posheya. So what's going on over here? Why did Rav Yaakov say, mishalim chatzi nezik? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So we have several terutzim, and the first one is from Rava. Rava tells us, I'm a Rava, liyoli b'muad, dealing here with a shor that was a muad, not a tam. And why does he have to pay chatzi nezik? Because the avdei shmir b'chusa. Now, this shmir b'chusa doesn't mean what it sounds. Rashi says, Noal bifonel kiroi. It's a shmira pechusa compared to the super duper shmira that you'd want to go and perform to protect against hurricanes and against armed robbers and all sorts of unusual incidents. So the shmira pechusa means less than the perfect one, but what is perfectly adequate for a regular shmira. So shmira pechusa sounds like it's an inadequate shmira, but it means it's a regular shmira, which is adequate. The avdei shmira pechusa, however, v'lo avdei shmira me'ula, but he didn't go and protect it from hurricanes. So a regular wind, it won't blow the door down, but a hurricane, it will blow the door down and the cow will get out. And according to this, we have the following three shittas that line up. For Rav Yaakov, who says that you pay chatzi nezek, lines up the following three shittas in the following way. Rav Yaakov Savala, number one, Rav Yehuda. Which shita of Rav Yehuda? The Omar, Tzad Tamos B'Mekoma Omedes. That when you're paying for chatzi nezek for a tam, so that continues even when it becomes a muad. But now it's just added onto it the other half. So when a shor is a shor muad, you're paying chatzi tam, chatzi nezek for the tam, and an additional half because it's now a muad. So that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So tzad tamos b'mekomo medes. So the tam half nezek is still there. It just added onto it an additional half nezek to make it full nezek of the muad. That's shita number one that Rabbi Yaakov holds like. Number two, the savala of Rabbi Yehuda. He also holds like the following opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar who says muad sagile b'shemir b'chusa, that a muad has to have a regular shmira, what we call shmira b'chusa, but it's a regular shmira. You lock the door properly, and it won't go blow down in a regular wind. Only a hurricane will knock it down. So it is enough to watch a muad with a shmira b'chusa. So you wouldn't be obligated to pay for the half that comes from the muad part if you did a shmira b'chusa. And the Sovelo Rabbanon, he holds in addition, like this third shita, which is the shita of the Rabbanon, what is that? That the Chachamim hold, the Amrei, Ma'amidin apetropos l'tam, l'gabos migufo. That's like the Bali Plukta of Yehuda ben Akusa, Amr Sunchas, the Chachamim, who say that we do appoint a apetropos for tam, l'gabos migufo. So therefore, we've lined up the shita of Rav Yaakov in the following way. He holds that we do appoint a apetropos for a tam. That's the shita of the Chachamim. So therefore, that half nezik still will be there. And a shmira pechusa will negate the half of the full nezek that's from the muad, but it won't do anything for the tam part. And then the tzad tamus b'mekomo medes, that stays over there, and therefore, in this situation, Rav Yaakov says you pay chatzi nezek because it's really the chatzi nezek on the original tam status that you're paying. That is Rava's understanding of Rav Yaakov's shita, that you pay chatzi nezek. It's the chatzi nezek from the tam aspect that's still there in this situation. And that we're mamid and apotropos l'tam legavos migufo, and that's why this works for chatzi nezek. That is the sheet of Rava. Abai doesn't like this. Amar Le'Avai, Abai says to Rava, below pligi, it seems to imply from your shita that Rav Yaakov doesn't disagree at all with Rav Yehuda. He seemed to be, according to you, in full agreement, but I'll show you that that's not true. Amar Le'Avai, below pligi, do not Rav Yaakov and Yehuda disagree. Votanya says here with the Bevis and the Braisa that they do disagree, because the Braisa says, Shor shel cherishot v'katan shenagach, the Braisa holds that if the shor that's owned by a cherishot v'katan goes and goes, Rav Yehuda's machai, Rav Yaakov omer chatzi nezek l'mishali. Now, it looks straight out that they're disagreeing. Rav Yehuda says Yemachayev implies that Yechayev Nezek Shalev. Rav Yaakov says only Chayev Chatzi Nezek Kudim Shalev. So what's going on over here? How can you say that they're not disagreeing with each other? Clearly they are. So how would Rava answer? So Amar Rabba Barula. Rabba Barula says no. Rava would answer in the following way. He would say that which Rav Yaakov said Yechayev Chatzi Nezek is an explanation of what it means that Rav Yehuda is Mechayev. Mashim Chayiv Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said he's Chayiv. He doesn't say what he's Chayiv. So along comes Rav Yaakov to say, no, Pirush Rav Yaakov, that it's Chayiv Chazi Nezik Shalim, exactly the way Rav explained it, that you're only Chayiv the Chatzi Nezik of the Tam part, but you're not Chayiv the Chatzi Nezik added on for the Muad part. So therefore, Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda are in full agreement, exactly like Rav said. No, Abaye, who said they seem to be arguing with each other, what was his shita? Uli Abaye damar plige, damai plige. So then what is the machlokas between Rav Yehuda, who seems to say Yemachayev Nezek Shalem, and Rav Yaakov, who seems to say that Yechayev only Chatzi Nezek? So what's going on according to Abaye? So Amaloch, Abaye would say that this is what they're arguing about. Hochabaye eskinon, b'muad v'lo natri klal. This machlokas is in regards to a shore that was a muad, and it wasn't watched at all. So it's totally left unwatched, and therefore, Rav Yaakov, we have to explain why he says Chatzi Nezek. Rav Yehuda, we understand clearly, Mechayev Nezek Shalim. So, why does Rav Yaakov say in this situation, Chatzi Nezek? Rav Yaakov Solo, Ki Rav Yehuda B'chodah, he agrees with Rav Yehuda in one regard, Upaligale B'chodah, and disagrees with him in regard to the other thing that Rav Yehuda said. What are the two things that Rav Yehuda said? So, Savak Rav Yehuda, Rav Yaakov agrees with Yehuda B'chodah in one din, and that is, Dilu Rav Yehuda Savar Tzad Tamos B'mekoma Omedes, that the Chatzi Nezek for being a tam stays in its place, and you're only adding on the other Chatzi Nezek when you become a muad, so the Chatzi Tam still stays there, so Rav Yaakov agrees with that. Where does he disagree with Rav Yehuda? Upaligalei b'chadah, he disagrees with him in regards to the other din, because the Rav Yehuda sabar ma'midin le'mapatropos l'tam le'gabos b'gufo. The Rav Yehuda says that we do set up a apotropos to go collect for tam from the guf of the animal, but Rav Yaakov disagrees. Rav Yaakov Sovar ain mamidim. So in this situation, Rav Yehuda says, Yemchayev, the full nezik, chatzi nezik for the tam, and then the additional chatzi nezik for the muad. However, Rav Yaakov says, no, we don't appoint an apotropos for the nezik of the tam, the chatzi nezik migufo, and therefore, you only pay the other chatzi nezik, which is the chatzi nezik of the muad. V'lo mishalim ela palgo de muad. You pay that additional half that the muad adds on to the chatzi nezik of the tam. But he doesn't hold you pay the chatzi nezik of the tam, so Rav Yaakov says you only pay chatzi nezik, but it's a different chatzi nezik than the way Rava understood it. Rava understood it as being the chatzi nezik of the tam, and according to Abaye, Rav Yaakov is saying you pay the Chatzi Nezek, that is the additional half that the Muad adds on, but you don't pay the original Chatzi Nezek of the Tam. Okay, so now we understand Rava, we understand the Baya, how they understand this additional statement of Rav Yaakov. Fine. Amalei Rav Acha bar Abaye l'Ravina. There's another question, though, that Rav Acha bar Abaye asked Ravina, Bishlom l'Abaye, according to Abaye, everything makes sense, the Omer Pligi Shaper. He holds that Rav Yaakov and Yehuda argue, and we understand, as we just explained, why that is so. However, Ela L'Rava, according to Rava, who says Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov don't disagree at all, Rava's understanding was that they say the exact same thing, Dama Lo Pligi, and they agree with all of the things of Rav Yehuda Shita, they agree with the Chachamim who argued with Sumchus, and therefore, the Chatzi Nezek that you pay is the opinion of both Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov, it's the establishing of an apotropos for Tam to go collect Migufo, and that's the only Chatzi Nezek that you pay. So, the Gemara now asks, Ademuki lo b'moi, instead of us teaching us this case by a muad, and you don't have to pay the chatzi nezik of the muad, so nokma b'tam, just teach us the din straight out in a tam. And we turn to Memo Aleph. And we will learn it as follows. Either Rav Yehuda, if you're telling me it goes according to Rav Yehuda, who requires that you have the Shmira Ma'alia for a top, he requires a regular Shmira, which you call the Shmira Pechusa for a Mu'ad, but Rav Yehuda holds that you need a Shmira Ma'alia for the top, so then, Dovid Le Shmira Pechusa, all you did was a Shmira Pechusa, and that's why you'd be Chayiv, the Chatzi Nezik, for the top. Because he didn't do a Shmira Ma'ula. And if you're telling me, Eli Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who disagrees and said that the Shmira Pechusa is also not only adequate for a Mu'ad, but it's adequate for a Tam, so then, the law of the Shmira Klal. So you would argue, in his situation, he didn't do any Shmira at all. So instead of saying it's talking about a Mu'ad, you could have it talking about a Tam, and go like Rabbi Yehuda, where he did a Shmira Pechusa, or go like Eliezer ben Yaakov, where he didn't do a Shmira at all. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, I'll show you that this is right. Because Rav Lezvin Yaakov Omer, Echotam Yechemua, Sheshmarim Shmira Pechusa Baturin. Rav Lezvin Yaakov does say that all you need is the regular Shmira, which again we're calling Shmira Pechusa, that funny usage of the word, because it means Shmira Pechusa from a Shmira Ma'alia, which is like to protect from a hurricane, but it means a regular Shmira. And according to Rav Lezvin Yaakov, that's perfectly good. And therefore, the Tam doesn't require anything above that for Shmira. So therefore, why did Rav say that Rav Yaakov is talking about a Mu'at? It could be talking about a Tam. And in fact, in that situation, and we could then use it to teach us this din, that Rav Yaakov holds that you do establish an apotropos to go and collect from the Tam, and therefore say that this din is by Tam rather than saying it's by Mu'at. So why didn't Rav learn it like this? So Ravina answers this question that was raised to him by Rav Acha Bar Abaye, and he says as follows. He says, this is what Rav wanted to really teach us. Number one, that when Rav Yaakov teaches us this din, there's actually two things behind it. Number one is that a mu'ad that is owned by this cheireshot or katan has to pay the chatzi nezek. Again, the additional half that you're paying above the original half for a tam. Now, number one, the reason is because a mu'ad requires a shmira pechusa. A shmira pechusa was done, and therefore you're patur on the additional half from the mu'ad. But the original tam half, that is still there, and that, therefore, is why it's chatzi nezek. So that's number one. Number two, he also has to teach us that a mu'ad doesn't require a shmira ma'ayisa, it just requires a shmira pechusa. And that would be enough to prevent you from having to pay for it. But the tam part, that requires a shmira ma'aya. And therefore, if you only did a shmira ru'uya, what we call the shmira pechusa, you still have to pay the chatzi nezek, and we appointed an apotropos, so therefore, you can be gova mi tam mi gufa. So that reconciles Rav. But now we go back to Abaya. Abaya had given us an answer before to say that Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda actually had a machlokas, and we explained that, what they were arguing about. The two different dinim of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yaakov agrees with one, disagrees with the other. That was teretz number one. Now we have Ravina, who gives us a second teretz for Abaya, to explain what the machlokas is between Yaakov and Rav Yehuda. Ravina Amar, Rishus Mishana Ikabinai. He says that the difference is, does the change in status go and require a return to the status of being a tam, or do we say no? Even though there's a change in the status of the owner, we still leave the animal as a mu'ad. This was the same machlokes we had in the Mishnah with the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. And kigon to have a mu'ad, for example, the animal was established to be a mu'ad, and the owners originally at that point in time were not considered to be a bar das, but then they became a bar das afterwards. Vinis pakeach hacheresh, the person who was a cheresh, suddenly was cured of his inability to speak and to hear, and he's now a pikeach. So he's now a bar das. Or the shote became a full-fledged pikeach. Vinishtapa shote, the person who was mentally ill, had now been on therapy, and the therapy's working, and he's now a sane person. Or the case of the katan, he grew up and now he's a gadol. Or we also have the case, the Gemara doesn't mention now, we went off to the Minas Hayam and now he comes back. So Rav Yehuda saw about Reyug Bechaz Kasso. Rav Yehuda holds that no, he stays as a mu'ad. This was like we had in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rav Yossi. We said Rav Yossi Ober Reyug Bechaz Kasso. So he holds the same way. However, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Sava Hariyuk Bechaz Kasso, but Rav Yaakov Sava Rishus Mishana. He says no, when this person was not a Bar Hochi, he wasn't a Bar Das, and now he becomes a Bar Das, so we brought down like the opinion of the Nemuke Yosef, that he can argue, listen, if I'd been there, it wouldn't have become a Mu'at. So therefore, it returns to the status of the Tam. And therefore, that's Rav Yaakov's opinion. He holds, like we had the opinion of Rav Meir in the Mishnah. So this machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov parallels the machlokes that we have between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir in the Mishnah. This is a good break point. We'll stop the shir over here. Yitz Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow at the two dots.